Can you just start by telling us how things have changed for your work over 2020?
We initially started by closing schools, and that was a significant change for all of us as educators, all of us involved in education. Online learning is significantly different, of course, than in-person learning. And a number of our teachers had to be retrained. We had to send out computers and to those families that didn't have it. And we learned very quickly that we can offer an educational program online. Now, I don't think we feel it's the best way for kids to be educated. We as a district, and I think as an education system, feel that we are in charge of the social, emotional, and intellectual development of children. And to do that best, kids are taught in person.
Of course, there were mixed reviews from the community, parents and teachers and students who were also concerned about going back to school and having mixed in-person classes. Was that something that you talked about?
We most certainly did. And we have great faith in our senior management team and our principals and vice principals and in our teachers and in our support staff that are keeping our schools clean and safe. Most certainly there's risk to anything that takes you out of your home in this COVID time, but we followed the advice of the provincial health office, as we do, in our lives these days, most of us do anyhow. It was considered that schools would be a safe place for kids to be. And in fact, the data would suggest that it has been, and I can share some of that with you if you wish.
Sure, yeah. I'm curious to hear about how the numbers have been in your area.
Up to Christmas, we had 91 exposures in our schools. And I might just explain what that means. An exposure means that somebody, a student or a staff member, tested positive for COVID and at some point was in the school. What has happened with that is that a letter goes home to the school, all the homes of students in the school, saying that there has been an exposure event. And then Fraser Health authorities come in and they do some contract tracing. And they check the extent of that exposure in the school. And in all but three of these situations, a letter went home to the classroom in which that exposure potentially happened and said to self-monitor, we don't think that you're in danger of contracting the COVID from that. Oh, by the way, and then a letter goes home to that cohort of classes, to the homes, and saying you should self-monitor. You know, there has been an exposure in the school. We don't see any risk. That does not mean that your child or that the staff member has COVID. It simply means you should monitor. And if you see any symptoms, let us know. Well, in 88 of those cases, there were no symptoms shown and things went back to normal very quickly. In three of the cases, when they did the contract tracing, they asked questions like, were you wearing, of the person, were you wearing a mask? Were you coughing and so on? In three of those cases, they were concerned that there was a potential of spread within the cohort group. And so they self-isolated those cohort classes for a period of 2 weeks. Now, all of those have passed. And as it turns out, even in those situations, there is no evidence of any transmission within the school. So our schools have been relatively safe. Our procedures have been very well followed. Kids are washing their hands. We're wearing masks when you're outside of your cohort area. We're following the advice of the provincial health office, and I believe our district has been very successful with that.
Are there some students or some parents that rather have their students learn from home rather than come to school? Do you know of how many students are doing that right now?
Yes, I do. So when we first reopened schools after they were closed after March, we had about 1,100 students who chose to not come back to school to learn from home. So for those students, it took us a few days, but we quickly transitioned them into online learning classes, and we called it the transition program with the goal of them coming as often as they felt comfortable and then fully integrating themselves in January at the start of the new year. So there were about 1,100, and you know, as best as possible, each and every one of them was provided an educational program. Our goal was to get them back into school in January. Now, as it turns out, of those 1,100, about 700 of them have returned to full-time attendance in January here, about 400 that we're still supporting as much as we tried to contact each and every one of them. We weren't sure who they were, so it took a couple of days, but I believe their formal online classes started today.
Especially when you're in smaller grades and stuff, they like to play in the playground. They like to socially interact. They're being children, you know, and they might not know the serious nature of COVID-19 just as adults. So how do you make sure that they're well taken care of and that they're following social guidance protocol?
Well, I'll have great faith in the staff at schools who really do understand how to take care of kids. I'll use the example of a school that I'm very familiar with because my granddaughter attends it. And when they go out to play, each of the classrooms has an area in which they're allowed to play. They're not allowed to play outside of that area during recess and at lunchtime. They have monitors to make sure that's the case. And that has not turned out to be a significant issue at all.
Another thing that came out of the COVID crisis that we're dealing with is the depression of children and social isolation, you know. Is there any programs in the schools right now that are handling that for children as well?
Absolutely there are. And we've recognized that, first of all, we recognize how important it is for kids to be in school for that social emotional support. Our teachers are well aware of situations in which kids are struggling, and we have lots of support. We have more staff working in our schools now than we've ever had to help out with that kind of thing.
Yeah, because you said there have been over 90 exposures, including student, staff, and faculty. So 91 out of a total number of how many people?
Well, I'm just looking at my numbers here, 19,248.
Okay. Would you consider that higher than you were expecting in terms of exposures?
Here's one thing I've learned about this situation is that it's so very hard to predict. Not have ever thought that we'd get up to 800 cases a day, which we did for a short time in British Columbia. So I'm no expert. I'm sure not a doctor or, expert on these kind of things. All I can say is that our schools opened and we had great protocols for opening them and very, very safe protocols for opening them. And those protocols have worked. You know, we would love to have had zero exposures, of course. But as it turns out, it has not been a significant issue in our schools to date.